You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. It is our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Nope, you truly don't. We're wacky. We're crazy. We're out of control.
That's right. We're a bunch of fun.
Yep. I don't know why I was trying to do a little Regis there. Out of control!
That was a decent Regis.
Thank you.
I have to say.
That's crazy Regis.
Crazy Regis.
When he didn't have his pills that day and he goes on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. He just goes...
When he didn't have his pills that day.
Yeah, you know, and, you know...
Okay. Was Regis Philbin on pills?
Probably.
Probably. Okay.
And you know, when some idiot chooses answer D at the $100 first question, D is never the answer on those first couple of questions and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Why do you say that?
Because it never is.
But do you know that for a fact?
Yes!
Have you crunched the numbers?
Yes, in my secret lab, yes.
In your secret Who Wants to Be a Millionaire
simulator.
Simulator.
Yes.
Okay.
We have the numbers.
You've crunched the numbers and D has come in exactly 0% of the time.
For the first $100 question, yes.
Okay.
D is never the answer.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll have to take your word for it.
Thank you. Now, let's get the show going.
All right.
It's things like that. You never know what we're going to delve into.
Yeah, we've already started off the tracks, so...
Why not?
My God! What the hell's going on tonight?
Yep, when Ric Flair comes on, it means we got to get back on track.
Yeah,
Ric
Flair is the official keeping on track person.
My God! What the hell's going on tonight?
Yep, so when Ric Flair plays, that means we need to get back on track. So before we dive into our headlines, we like to do a little bit of a wrap-up of what we've been up to in the past week or so since we've been on the air. So, Mike, what have you been up to? How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. I got a chance to play some of the Destiny beta. Destiny, of course, is the latest game coming out from former Halo developer Bungie. Got a chance to test it out, and it's a lot of fun. Really looking forward to it this September.
Awesome.
Yeah. I highly recommend it to everyone out there. If you don't have a beta, maybe try and get in the last couple of days. It's a blast.
When does that run out?
The beta ends sometime this weekend, I think, but there's still a few days left.
Okay, so if you're hearing this right now, when we debut it on Wednesday or on the podcast the following morning on Thursday, definitely look out for it right now.
Yeah, but I mean, if you miss the beta, you only have to wait until September anyway. So
September,
yeah,
a whole month.
But yeah, I know it's tough when you're waiting for one of those big releases, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's what I've been doing. What have you been up to?
One of my jobs that I am employed at currently had a company softball game.
Oh, nice.
So for the first time in a while, I was out on the baseball diamond.
Oh, awesome. What position did you play?
I started out in center field, and then they moved me to third base, which was... interesting because...
So a lot more responsibility at third base.
I always feel like if you're in the infield, you're more, you know, you have more roles and responsibilities.
Oh, definitely.
You got to cover that base. You got to make sure you're not, you know, twiddling your thumbs. You know?
Yeah, and anything, you know, any ground ball or any line drive, it's coming right at you.
Yeah.
So you got to be prepared.
Right.
So how'd you handle the responsibilities at third base? Are the Phillies looking to sign you anytime soon?
No, not at all.
Oh,
no,
sorry.
And it also helps that our company softball game, we were allowed to have beer, so that was also nice to have. Why not?
So running to third base was more like shambling to third base.
Well,
if they got to third base,
it was day drinking. You know,
okay.
You know, nobody's like hammered.
Okay.
You know, it's like it was a nice, like, you know, everyone had a buzz, you know.
Right. Yeah, it's got a like a picnic type feeling.
Right.
Very light,
yeah.
And airy and
exactly
good times. Well, sounds like a lot of fun.
Yep. And I'll tell you what, I actually clobbered one too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you get a home run or
it wasn't
you...
a home run, but I hit it deep to left field. I couldn't believe it.
Nice.
You know, for me not being in the best of shape.
So whenever you came up to bat after that, they had to push him back, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Rich is up. Push him back, right?
Yeah. And then I struck out. But oh, well.
you put fear into them.
I had that moment of glory.
Yeah.
That's what
matters. If you had hit a second one, they would have started walking you.
Yeah.
Right? That's when you know you've made it.
It's funny because when you look at, I think it's Ryan Howard.
Yeah.
All of his stats are either walks, strikeouts, or home runs.
Yeah. Yeah, one of those three. Yep.
Yeah. I think David Ortiz is like that, too.
Every
single at bat is either a walk, a strikeout, or a home run.
Honestly, I would just take my chance with a batter like Ryan Howard, though.
Yeah, lately he's been striking out.
Yeah, but
hence
anyway.
The reason why we haven't been covering the Phillies at all.
Yeah. But you know what? Speaking of sports, or the lack thereof in the Philadelphia area.
Yeah. That's when you know it's exciting. I'm going to cover my coverage of my baseball game, not the Phillies baseball game.
Well, you know, honestly, we have more to talk about with your baseball game.
Yeah.
And it's only a softball game, too. It's not even baseball, right? But anyway, we like to start things off here on the podcast with a little bit of sports news. We bring it to you in the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Yeah!
That's right, in your face.
Sports coming at you, in your face. So yeah, it's time to knock out some big sports headlines going on. But you know what? We're going to start off with this one that made the rounds this week. And it's just kind of shocking and kind of out of the blue, really.
Yeah, it is. You know, you played that in your face clip, and this sort of came out of nowhere, you know, right in our face with how shocking it was and sort of not sad, but a little disheartening, I think.
Yeah. Former head coach Tony Dungy, who pretty prominent coach, coached the Indianapolis Colts, was the first African-American head coach to win a Super Bowl.
That's right. Yeah. He was making some history there.
Yep. I mean, he's kind of known as a guy who is a pioneer in terms of football history and breaking down, you know, barriers and such. I mean, he was also one of the backing forces behind Michael Vick's return after the dogfighting scandal.
That's right. He was a big proponent of, you know, second chances, and he just seemed like the good guy.
Yeah, seemed like he's always a good guy.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, he made some controversial statements at the beginning of this week about the first openly gay NFL player, Michael Sam. He was being interviewed by the Tampa Bay Tribune, and they asked him, would you have drafted Michael Sam? And I have Tony Dungy's response here, so I'll read it verbatim.
All right, so what is the quote?
Quote, let me read it right. I want to get it right. I want to make sure I'm getting this right. I don't want anybody to go crazy. Quote, I wouldn't have taken him. Not because I don't believe Michael Sam shouldn't have a chance to play football, but I wouldn't want to deal with all of it. His transition is not going to be totally smooth. Things will happen, unquote. Very vague.
Yeah, very vague, but I mean, we can kind of get the gist of what he's saying, right?
He's
suggesting that Michael Sam will be a divisive player in the locker room, it seems like.
Right.
And that's the between the lines that I'm picking up here.
Right. So, I mean, you know, how does this impact Tony Dungy? You know, I mean, do you still view him as a pioneer of the game?
Well,
you know, does he have a right to say that? What do you think?
Okay. Well, I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. So I'm not taking anything away from him there. And, you know, we can't expect everyone to be that perfect shining example. And so I think he may have lost a little bit of his luster as being, you know, the quote unquote, the good guy. But I don't know if it detracts too much from his overall legacy. Because I guess he's looking at it from a strictly business point of view. You know, there are going to be, you know, some issues. You know, people are always going to bring it up, and people are always going to try and make it a big problem, and it shouldn't be. And I hope that it's not, but unfortunately, society's just not at that level yet where they can just look past it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can kind of see where you're coming from on this, but I mean, I feel like something doesn't add up here for Tony Dungy. I mean,
in what way do you mean it doesn't add up?
I mean, he comes out in support of Michael Vick,
right?
Coming back out of prison, out of all the dog fighting charges,
right?
Supports him full force, complete and total support behind him,
right?
Then he supports Tim Tebow. He was a supporter of Tim Tebow to be patient.
Right, right.
You know, he has his history of supporting players who are divisive.
That's true.
And so far, support. And then when it comes to Michael Sam, the first openly gay player, another boundary that would have been huge to have his support behind, all of a sudden he's not there for him?
Yeah, it does seem like he's kind of letting him down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean,
by not being there to back him, you know, having backed so many players before. I mean, I can understand, you know, him saying it from a coaching point of view, but he has so far been a champion of second chances and equality and, you know, bringing people together. So this is a little odd given his past history.
Yeah. And also, I don't like how vague he is in that statement that,
well,
things will happen.
Yeah.
Like,
it almost
you...
sounds very ominous in,
yeah,
a way.
Yeah.
He was definitely tiptoeing around what he really wanted to say, I think. What he was getting at is that he's concerned about the locker room issues.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, let's face it, the Mike Vick and the Tim Tebow thing, yes, they were divisive players, but not to the same degree that Michael Sam could be for certain people. Because there are still people that take issue with that sort of thing. In society and in the league, too. I mean, that's why it was such a big issue, because nobody had ever done it before, because there's this stigma around it, you know? So I guess he's looking at it from that point of view. But still, I think maybe he should have... This was a good opportunity for him to stand up and be, like, a shining example,
yeah,
of what we should be.
Right.
Not what we are.
And so, you know, far, he had always been.
Yeah, yeah.
Tony Dungy had been always preaching, you know, don't judge a book by its cover.
Exactly.
The whole time.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, the list right here, Michael Vick, Tim Tebow, he was supporting all these players, and then a softball gets lobbed at him from Michael Sam.
Yeah.
And he just whiffs at it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of a little I'm very disappointed in Tony Dungy.
I'm disappointed too, character-wise, but I don't know if it detracts from his legacy as a football coach. But I guess that's not really on trial here.
No, I mean, because
all things considered,
he will,
yeah,
go down as, you know, the first African American coach to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, we're talking about from a strictly character point of view, you know,
yeah,
from a social standpoint, not a professional standpoint.
No, but at the same time, I think this does hurt him a little bit. I think it
does a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't know about enough to tarnish his overall image, but it definitely in the interim, I think.
Right.
This is going to be sort of a dark spot for him.
Right. It's not going to, you know, ruin his career by any means.
No.
But at the same time, this kind of, he loses some credibility on this.
This was his opportunity to really be that trailblazer.
Yeah.
That person that stands
Why not? You supported a dog fighter. You supported a you know, very extreme right-wing figure. Why not?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it goes back to it again. I think that of the three people, that there's still a lot of people in our culture that would take more issue with Michael Sam than with the other two.
I think
that's maybe why he tiptoed around it, because he knew that one way or another, he was going to anger, you know, half the population, right? He comes out in support and he angers one half. He comes out and says what he did say and he angers the other half.
But, you know,
the
gay issue is starting to fade away, though.
It is.
It's starting
to. It is starting to fade away. Starting. It's not there completely. I mean, look what happened way back with the punter Chris Cluey and Minnesota. I don't know if you're aware of this, but he was cut because, well, he implies that they that the organization in Minnesota was upset with him coming out in favor of homosexual rights. Mm. So there are still parts of the league that are very touchy about that subject.
Well, I mean, I hope that those parts of the league start to, you know,
become more modern,
yeah,
more forward thinking.
They better, because I mean that's the way culture's trending right now.
I always go back to this: if the people that have issues with it, if they're naive enough to think that there's never been a gay player in football before, I mean,
yeah,
come on,
there's got to have been at least somebody.
I mean, are they really that naive to think that, you know, oh, there's never been one before? I mean,
yeah, there have had to have been somebody.
Yeah.
Some people would argue that one of our favorite people might have had a little bit of a crush on a certain somebody.
Brett Favre is one of those guys that when he's hot, he can really be hot. Brett Favre throws as well as anyone. He throws better than anyone. What the heck am I talking about? He's the darndest guy I've ever seen. He can pick up a baseball with his foot.
Come on. Don't you think some of those clips are a little...
He literally called Brett Favre hot and then talked about his feet, which, you know, is a little fetishy.
Yeah, so maybe there might have been, you know, a little love affair
between
Madden and Brett Favre.
Madden and Brett Favre. That is a rom-com that I would see.
Well, there you go. Why not? But, unfortunately, just I'm just disappointed in Tony Dungy's latest comments. But, I mean, the call's up to you. Do you think the statement regarding the first openly gay NFL player, Michael Sam, is controversial? That Tony Dungy said that if he was a head coach, he wouldn't have drafted Michael Sam because I wouldn't want to deal with all of it, which is the exact quote, which that's the thing I don't like about this. This is very vague.
Quote unquote, all of it.
I wouldn't want to deal with all of it. And quote, it's not going to be totally smooth. Things will happen. I don't know. It's just very vague and I don't know.
And you know, I just want to make,
I'm just disappointed.
I just want to make one final point on this is going back to us talking about how, you know, he's always stood up for the downtrodden before. And I made the comment about how he didn't do it now because he was worried about, you know, the possible backlash. And, you know, when you look back in the history books and the people you remember are the people that take that chance and stand up even when the backlash is going to go against them. And so I think he missed an opportunity right there.
Right.
To be remembered. He had a chance to really solidify his status as one of those figures, but instead of going against the grain, he sort of gave into it.
Right.
So I think that's the big thing to take away here, you know, from a legacy point of view.
I would agree with that statement as well. So there you go. Startling comments made by Tony Dungy at the beginning of this week about the first openly gay NFL player, Michael Sam. All right, now let's get into what I thought the headline was going to be up until that news story broke. Honestly, we got to touch on this.
Yeah, one of your favorite subjects.
Yep, it's time to talk about some golf.
All right,
because the British Open was
the Open.
Oh yes, if you're
the Open.
Yep, that's right. If you're going to be a golf purist on this,
grab your tea, your champagne glass, and your monocle, and whatever else fancy rich people do. And I don't know. I don't golf. What do fancy golf people do, Rich? You tell me.
A lot of them smoke cigars. I know that.
Okay. They have the smoking jackets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, whatever.
But anyway.
Don't get too fancy for the, you know, we're the crispy noodle here.
Right. So tell us a little bit about the British Open. I'll say the British Open because I'm not that fancy.
Thank you. So the British Open was over the weekend, and the young gun, Rory McIlroy, finishes the winner as the winner. Another wire-for-wire champion. If you remember in the U.S. Open, we had now I forget his name now.
Martin Keimer.
Yeah, Keimer. Yeah, thank you. We had Martin.
I have the golf stats, yeah, so not Rich. What's going on here? Everyone, check outside. Is it snowing? Okay.
Thank you. Martin Keimer went wire for wire at the U.S. Open.
Right, and that means leading each round, right?
Yep. Starting the first day on Thursday, led all throughout the whole tournament, didn't give it up until they won on Sunday. Same thing with Rory McIlroy over the weekend here at the British Open.
That's really dominant play right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really tough.
Right. And Rory McIlroy, man, he has won three majors before the age of 25.
Wow.
Which, number one, I am insanely jealous of because I'm 25. And number two, that makes him only the third golfer ever in PGA history behind Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus.
Wow.
To have won three majors before the age of 25.
So could he be the next Tiger Woods-esque golfer?
Possibly. I mean, he's got talent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it proves with this wire-to-wire victory.
Yep. Rory McIlroy's known for his amazing drives. Actually, the weekend before this tournament, he drove the full length of a par four.
Wow. Now, I remember one time way back when, I think you mentioned about when Tiger Woods broke onto the scene, that was his major strength.
Yeah.
Is that they had to, quote-unquote, Tiger Woods-proof Tiger-proof courses.
Right.
So, a lot of similarities here.
Yeah.
That's interesting. As one legend sort of fades into the distance, could another one be coming up? Are we witnessing the rise of another legend?
It's possibly. It's possible. Rory McIlroy is definitely branding a name for himself right now. And I'll tell you what, something else that works for him right now is all three of his major victories are, I would say, dominating performances. His first two major victories, he won by 8 strokes.
Wow.
And this championship, the final score comes out as only 2 strokes, but Rory McIlroy led from wire to wire.
Right.
So, I mean, that's awesome that he never gave up the lead.
That's really impressive, though, especially the first two ones winning by 8 strokes. That's a pretty big advantage in golf.
Right. And to make it even more interesting.
Okay.
His three major wins are at different majors.
Okay.
So
is this...
he's only one away from being a Grand Slam champion already.
Wow.
Yep.
And that's pretty rare in the golf world, isn't it?
Yeah. The only one that he hasn't won is the Masters.
So, how does it work? If he wins that one next year?
If he wins the Masters, then he'll have a Grand Slam.
They don't all have to be in the same year, or
no? Okay. They don't have to. Tiger did it though.
Okay,
he actually won all the majors in a calendar year.
Wow. So are the majors done for this year?
No, there's one more. There's the PGA Championship.
Okay, okay. See, I'm woefully undereducated when it comes to golf.
It's okay.
So that's why this works. You know, you tell me about the golf, and I learn and I provide the analogies and the questions for the non-golf people. Golf. Sorry.
There you go. Now, here's an interesting point.
Okay.
Not to take away Rory's victory. Congratulations to Rory McIlroy. Again, he's now just a Masters win away from being a Grand Slam. Imagine that. He could be 25 and already be a Grand Slam champion.
Would he be the youngest? I'm
pretty sure.
Wow.
I don't think Tiger did it till he was 27.
Wow. So already.
Yeah.
Could be ahead of the curve going up against Tiger Woods.
Right. All right. Now, here's something I want to bring up.
Okay.
In second place, we have two people tied for second place. And I think this is really interesting and really just shows you how people interpret results.
Okay.
The first guy to finish number two in the British Open Championship is Ricky Fowler, who's even younger than Rory McIlroy. And his second place finish is being viewed as, oh my gosh, he could be the next Rory McIlroy. He's that next like budding star.
Right.
He's being groomed as that next.
Yeah, but McIlroy hasn't even broken onto the scene all the way yet, and they're already trying to replace him.
Well, no. Well, not that he's being replaced. Just saying
he's going to be the next.
Yeah, he's younger than Rory. He's having these awesome finishes at these major events.
I just think it's a little funny when the one, you know, he's like literally one spot ahead of him in the same competition.
Well,
anyway,
so this guy, Ricky Fowler, young, finishes second in the Open Championship. I think he also had a top five finish in the U.S. Open. So, I mean,
okay, he's so consistent.
Yeah.
All right.
So he's making a name for himself as well. So his second place finish is being viewed as optimistic and
right.
and awesome, right?
Okay.
Now, same second place finish, Sergio Garcia.
Okay.
And
what is this? The end of times for him?
Yeah.
Okay.
He is he's been around since 1999.
Okay.
And he has never won a major.
Oh.
And his second place finish is being viewed as classic Sergio. He can never win a major.
Well,
now I mean
it is different because he's been around for what 15 years.
Yeah.
So I mean there is that factor taken into account. It's the you know that's with any athlete. If they make it there a bunch of times but can never take that last step.
Yeah.
You know, he's the Donovan McNabb of golf.
Yes.
See,
yes.
I'm giving the analogies
yes.
for the commoners, Rich.
Yes.
That's why I'm here.
I yeah, you know what? That fits. Yep. Sergio Garcia is the Donovan McNabb of golf.
So, we hate you in Philadelphia. I'm just kidding. I don't care. But
well, anyway, I thought that was interesting. That both,
that is interesting,
both
though.
These golfers had fantastic rounds of golf.
Right.
They finished second place, yet the media coverage on them is completely on the extremes of the media coverage.
Right.
One is being viewed as awesomely optimistic, and the other one is still
hang up your golf clubs.
Yeah.
It's the end of your career.
Yeah, it, you know, it's like, oh, classic Sergio can't yeah. win the major. You know, womp womp. Here's your parting gift, which, by the way, is still a lot of money. Second place still pulls you in $750,000.
Oh my god!
Yeah, so I don't think Sergio Garcia cares.
I'm gonna pick up golf.
Yeah, there you go.
My gosh. What does yep. first place get? A million?
Rory. Oh, wait. I got the number here.
Okay.
Rory, his purse for the championship was $1.6 million.
Wow.
Bam.
That's all in a weekend.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, there's more preparation yeah. than just that. But
yeah. How do you like that?
Still, that's pretty good. It's very good.
72 holes of golf, $1.6 million. Thank you very much.
Now, here's a question. Do both second place finishers get the... 750K.
The way that it's broken down, yes.
Okay.
They each get 750K.
Wow.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. So
that's a lot of money that they have to give away.
Yeah. Well, golf is a very heavily watched sport. I'm sorry. I know yeah, people think it's just, boring,
I know,
but
three,
people watch it.
We're talking about 3.1 million going to three different people for 4 days of golf.
Yep.
That's
and
pretty
this,
impressive.
And this is a major. This is the
right.
You know,
oh, right, right.
Yeah.
Of course,
this wouldn't happen at your regular
right.
local rinky dink.
Yeah. This
don't go. All, yeah, don't, Mike, don't go to your. You know, don't go to the Ambler Golf Course here and expect $1.6 million.
The Ambler Golf Course. Where is this
know.
Golf course that we have
know,
on the asbestos fields? For those that don't know, Ambler, it's notorious for its asbestos plant.
Thank you. That's what you're famous for.
I would say Woody's, but they bulldozed that for a hospital.
Yeah. Whatever
the
people
local have no
golf.
Idea what we're
no.
talking about unless no. they're from this area.
No. Whatever. The point is, wherever you're from.
Right. This isn't your local country club.
No, this is, you know.
This is, yeah, this is the Open.
Right. Yeah, this is the Open.
It is the Open.
You can't even put British Open on this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't even, on their website, it's just the Open.
Yeah. Because
yeah.
it was the first one.
I guess so.
Also, one more fun fact I'm going to point out. Did you notice we haven't really talked about Tiger this whole time?
Yeah, unless we're comparing other golfers to him.
Yeah.
Why haven't we talked about him, though?
Just, you know, he did enough to survive the cut at the British Open.
Right.
But, unfortunately, didn't really do too well afterwards.
Uh-oh.
Actually shot his worst 4-round score ever at a majors.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so he wasn't really...
And again, the talk
the
goes
news.
Back to, will he, you know, is this the end of Tiger Woods?
Mm. Well, we'll see. But unfortunately, no magic for Tiger. Didn't even crack the top of the leaderboards.
So I have a question, though, with the other golfers that we've covered previously. Martin Kaymer, the one that just won the last one, how did he fare?
He didn't do too well either, but you know what? He already has his U.S. Open win, so he's
happy. Perfectly fine.
Yeah, you know, one major is enough one major win in a year is enough to consider that year the best of your career.
Right. Well, it's winning a championship.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you just have 4 shots at doing it
right.
every year.
Yeah.
What about
Martin Keimer finished 70th place, 8 over, and Tiger Woods finished 69th place, 6 over.
So
they each get I have the number here. They each get 20 grand.
Hey, 20 grand is still good. I would, you know, 20 grand, I'll take 20 grand.
but for these guys, that's enough to like tip their caddy. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, that's like going out to eat for them,
yeah.
Right? It's like one dinner.
One dinner and tipping the caddy.
Yeah. Yep. What about, we had talked about the favorite going into this was Adam Scott, wasn't it?
Yep, and he finished fifth, so good
showing.
So
not bad, yeah, top five.
Top
five, pretty
good. Yeah. To be honest with you, if you're in the top five, that's still a great show.
Yeah, well, considering there's, you know, we're talking about Martin Keimer coming in, you know, 70th, and that's like only the top third of the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm looking at the list of golfers here. There's just like hundreds of them.
Right. Well, a lot of them get cut. You know,
right. Well, I'm still saying, though, you know, there's 70 that make it to this yeah. point. So top right. five out of 70. That's really good.
Right. So there you go. The British Open is over, and Rory McIlroy is your winner. And yeah, he's just a Masters win away from being a one of the youngest Grand Slam champions ever in golf history.
Wow!
So
that'll be exciting
yeah.
if he actually pulls it off because
yeah.
we can talk about it. Then.
I hope he does. That would be awesome.
That would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't really.
I'm older than him. That pisses me off. Yet I admire him. It's like Anchorman. You know, I hate you, but damn it, I respect you. You know.
It's true. It's yeah. true. Yeah.
So, there you go, Rory McIlroy. There you go. Come on, win a major. Win the Masters.
The Masters.
Win the next Masters. Come
there
on.
There you go.
You can do it.
And get a what's it called? A Grand Slam.
Grand Slam.
Nice.
Yep. All right. Enough golf. I know you're waiting to get off of golf.
Yeah, but I'm not too excited to be talking about the next subject either.
Well, yep.
Yeah,
well, this might get your blood boiling here. The NBA is apparently considering changes to the draft lottery system, and they're pretty wacky.
I mean, the lottery, for those that don't know, is already sort of messed up because unlike the glorious sport of football, the worst performing team in the league is not guaranteed the top pick.
No. As a matter of fact, what happens is the last 14 teams that don't make the playoffs in the NBA, they all go into a draft lottery where they're represented by ping pong balls. Teams with the worst records get the more ping pong balls. The teams with the better records get less ping pong balls.
But it's still random.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that bugs me because
yep.
the Sixers were god-awful, and we did get two picks in the top 10.
Yep.
But...
Yep, the Sixers were the second worst team in the NBA, and they had the third overall pick.
Right. So if they were a football team, we would have had the second overall pick.
Right.
So.
Okay. Well, so now there's been a lot of criticism that teams are purposely choking away seasons in hope to get a better draft pick, i.e.
okay.
the Sixers.
Right.
So it's true. It is true. The Sixers...
Well, after a certain point, yeah. I mean, what are you going to do?
I mean, come on. The Sixers lost, what was it, that 26-game streak in a
yeah,
row?
Yeah, yeah.
It was bad.
So is it because the Sixers...
A lot of it is the Sixers.
A lot of it is the Sixers?
It is.
Okay.
It is, because the Sixers tanked this season just so they could have a high draft pick.
Let me get this straight. They messed up so bad that the NBA is considering changing the rules, but we still didn't get the top pick.
Right.
That's how bad they are. They suck at sucking, but still suck enough to have the NBA change the rules because of their sucking.
That's correct.
This is like suckception.
It's suckception.
And that sounded very wrong.
Suckception. Oh, I never would have thought of that one. In a world where sucking doesn't guarantee you the number one draft pick, the Sixers are the Suckceptors.
This is a very specific world.
Yeah.
It's a very strange universe you've built there.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. That's,
in a world, what'd you say?
In a world where sucking doesn't guarantee you the number one draft pick. Succession. Well, that's what the Sixers are going through.
So, besides the Sixers sucking, what is the NBA doing to further complicate matters?
All right, now, let me, I'll do the actual proposal that's on the table, all right?
Okay.
The actual proposal that is on the table is that they want to create a more balanced system in which all 14 teams have a relatively similar chance at getting the number one pick.
That's so stupid right off the bat.
So here's how it works. All right, under the current system, the team that has the worst record has a 25% chance in the lottery pool.
Okay.
Then the second worst is 20%.
Okay.
The third is 16%, and it moves down.
Okay.
Now, in this proposal that the NBA is voting on this week, it instead would change the stats so that the four worst teams all have the same chance at getting the number one pick, 11%.
Okay.
Then the team with the next spot has 10%, and then the next team is 2%, and then it's only 1% along the way.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't
so
like
idea,
this system.
So the six worst teams all are around the same percentage.
Right. Okay. So, I don't like this system. You know, as it is right now, you have a very slim chance of actually getting the top pick. But now, it's even tougher to get the top pick.
Right.
Why are they concerned with making it fair? If, you know, why should they be concerned that the fifth worst team has much a chance to get it as the first, as the worst team? Why don't they just switch to an NFL style system where the worst team gets the first pick, the second worst team gets the second pick?
I know, it would be so much easier.
I mean, it seems logical, but I guess nothing about the NBA is logical.
Well, I mean, I know that they're concerned about teams tanking seasons,
but you know what?
But
the concern about teams tanking, I think, is slightly ridiculous, because when you think about what a sports team is, I know we want it to be this big representation of our hometown and all our hopes and dreams and goals and whatnot. No, it's a business. It's there to make money. No owner is going to willingly throw games to, you know, hinder ticket sales, to hinder merchandise sales, just to get a better draft pick.
Except the Sixers.
But they're an anomaly. They're just that bad.
All right. Now,
so I don't think there's that much of a worry, because it works fine in every other sport except for the NBA. So why is this even on their radar?
Well,
that's not even to bring up the fact that they can rig the lottery themselves.
Yeah, which there's allegations of.
Oh, plenty of allegations. Mm-hmm. Haven't there been some seasons where, like, some of the better teams have gotten the top pick?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not better, but, you know.
Yeah, a significant, you know, a team that's more mediocre than worse.
Right, right.
Got the number one pick.
Right. That'd be like if the Eagles this past year got the number one pick. Just randomly.
Uh-huh.
Like, we weren't the best, but also, you know, we don't deserve the number one pick.
Right. All right, now, this is the concept that I want to bring to your attention, all right?
Wait, the concept you brought up now, wasn't the worst-case scenario?
No, that's the one that's being proposed, That's the one that actually has a shot of going through.
Okay, and this is the long-shot proposal.
Yeah, this is the long-shot. This is called the lottery wheel concept.
Lottery wheel?
Yes.
So, like, what is this? The Price is Right? Or...
No.
Or
step on up to the big wheel. Like, no,
actually,
that would be very fun.
Da, 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 da.
Don't go over a dollar.
You just have the tallest player on the team come over and just spin that thing so hard that it comes off its little hinges.
Drew Carey might have an idea for you.
Yeah. So this isn't like The Price is Right. Is this like roulette then?
No. This is actually kind of not luck, not anything to do with luck at all.
Okay.
So what happens is a set order is determined for the next 30 years. Yeah. Stay with me.
What do you mean a set order?
A set order
okay.
is set for okay. the next 30 years, because there's 30 teams in the NBA.
Right.
And you pick based on whatever it is in that order.
So if you're eighth in that order, then the eighth year down the line, you get the first pick? Or are you saying you get the eighth pick?
Like, what happens is...
I'm confused.
What happens is...
Say the Sixers...
So, it's not based on records at all.
Okay.
What happens is, the next 30 years,
right.
your order in the draft is predetermined already.
And you pick that spot every single year?
No.
Oh, it rotates. Okay.
Right. So let's
say the Sixers are ranked eighth, and then next year they'd...
It does, but it doesn't matter. You're...
No, I'm saying ranked on their stupid wheel.
It's their order.
Okay, they have the eighth spot on the wheel of stupidity.
Yeah, whatever this is called.
So this year they pick eighth, but next year they pick seventh, and then sixth, and then...
Yeah.
Progressing that way or progressing the other way?
Well, they would progress in a random order, but throughout the next 30 years, you would... Each year, there's a year where you're 1. There's a year where you're 30. There's a year when you're 22. There's a year when you're 18. And
why
don't
they just have them fight to the death in a gladiator arena?
At this point, yeah.
There's no rhyme or reason to that. You put them in an order, and then you pick randomly? What the hell is that?
No, but it's predetermined already.
Right. And the idea is that over the next 30 years, you will pick every year, you will pick at a spot until you picked at all 30 spots.
Right.
But that's so stupid.
Yeah.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
It has absolutely nothing to do with your record.
You just blindfold them and throw darts at a board.
Yeah.
They'd have a better chance of getting a good pick.
Right. It's called the lottery wheel.
Of stupidity.
I know, at this point.
They abridged it. They changed it.
It's so, yeah.
That's not a wheel. If it's random, it's not. Oh, my gosh.
So.
This is so frustrating. And I don't even like basketball.
Yep. So, although this is a very long shot, it is still being, quote, considered.
Do the NFL-style draft and have it be fair for, you know, where you actually rank.
It would be much simpler.
It would be much simpler.
Can you imagine if we actually have to explain this lottery wheel concept if this goes through?
It would be an entire episode. Next year, the NBA draft lottery special, where we spend 2 hours
talking about why we're in this stupid format.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
You know what else is weird about that thing, too?
Besides everything?
Is that they put 32 and 1 next to each other.
Okay.
So if you have, or the other way around, 1 and 32.
Right.
So that means if you have the best pick in the draft, you better have the best pick ever, because next year you're going to have the last one.
Yeah.
Or 1 and 30, sorry. 1 and
30. You're thinking of football.
Yeah, I'm thinking of football myself.
Ah, it's almost here. August is right around the corner.
Well, no, I'm in agreement with you. Just at this point, if the lottery's this goddamn confusing, just do what football does. Worst team gets the best pick.
It's never been a problem for football.
Right.
I mean, not as far as I know, there's never been a problem with it. I mean, who would ever accuse the Lions of throwing games in that god-awful 0-16 season? You know?
That was awesome.
Teams don't really throw games unless it's that scandal from baseball back in the, 1920s or 1930s. You know the one I'm talking about. Help me out here.
The scandal?
The Black Sox scandal. They call it the Black Sox scandal.
Wasn't that in a World Series?
Yeah. Where they threw the game or they tried to throw the game.
Yeah. Well, that was in a World Series, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm saying, though, very rarely do teams try and throw games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Except for the Sixers.
But I don't think that they really threw them. I think that they were really just that god-awful.
They might have been. But whether or not they were, apparently is causing the NBA to review how they do the draft lottery. Now, although the lottery wheel thing is a long shot, it is still on the table. The one that has the biggest chance of passing through the NBA board is the first plan, where the four worst teams have the same chance, 11% in the NBA draft, then followed by 10%, 9% until you get down to 2 and 1%.
Why don't they just give them all 3.3% and just be done with whatever the math adds up to? I don't know. I'm not good at math.
Just at this point, just do baseball or football. Just do football.
Baseball.
Just do whatever.
Actually, just do a different sport.
Yeah, this is all lottery's so stupid.
It is.
If you really want to go back to the root of this damn problem, the lottery's stupid.
It is. It is.
Just go. It should just.
I've always thought it was the dumbest system ever.
It should just be what football is. Worst record gets the best pick. Simple.
Yeah.
Clean.
Exactly.
Bam.
And people wonder why football is the biggest sport in America.
Yeah. So there you go. The lottery system may be changing in the future. Keep an eye on that as the NBA votes this week on its competition committee meetings in Las Vegas. All right. There you go. That's enough controversy.
Yeah, I know. Quite a bit of controversy in this sports sampler.
Yeah. I feel like every news story had some sort of, you know, stance that we had to take on it, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's very tiring doing that.
Yeah.
I think it might be time to take a little bit of a breather, Rich.
Well, Mike, you're right. I think we need to take a little bit of a break before we head into our next segment, which is the entertainment entree. What do we got coming up in that?
Oh, boy, we're going to need this break because we're talking about some huge Simpsons news for all the Simpsons fans out
Simpsons.
There. We also got some interesting tidbits about some of our favorite Disney franchises, Star Wars and the Marvel Universe.
Yep, that's right. So, movie and television news coming up in the entertainment entree, and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. So, don't go anywhere. More show still to come. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We'll be right back.
Attention sports fans, collectors, hobbyists, and autograph seekers. Are you looking for the best in sports cards and collectibles? The only name you need to know is Carl's. That's right, Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA not only has the best collection of sports memorabilia, cards, game, used merchandise, and autograph signings with top professional athletes, he also does custom framing too. Go to carlscards.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Carl's Cards. That's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Remember, Carl's, the only and best name in sports cards and collectibles.
Are you in the market for a quality used car? Have problems trusting fly-by-night used car dealerships? Check out Ken Nolan's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales. Ken has been in business for almost 30 years, selling cars not only to people all over the Philadelphia area, but now worldwide, thanks to our website at www.plymouthmeetingautosales.com. At Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, we have cars for all size wallets, and expensive cars under $3,000, to classic cars and even dump trucks. Stop on in. That's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, 1215 Ridge Pike, Conshohocken, PA, or call 610-828-4427.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. And we've got some entertainment topics to go over in movies and TV. So with that, we'll jump right into the next segment. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the entertainment entree.
Yeah, yes, it is. The entertainment entree is always a miracle.
It's a miracle!
Haven't used that one in a while. Leonardo DiCaprio trying to promote some car or something.
Yeah, it was some type of car, yeah.
It's a miracle!
We did a segment about, what was it, like weird ads or something?
Yeah,
or like
weird celebrity endorsements.
Yeah, celebrity endorsements, that's right.
Yeah. I think we're actually going to include that in an upcoming best of episode. So
everyone will have to look forward to that.
Right. It's definitely one of my favorite skits we've ever done. And we pulled that clip from it.
It's a miracle!
So there you go. Haven't used it in a while. So bringing it back. All right. Now let's dive into the headlines. And I believe, actually, one of the first things you heard in that entertainment entree bumper is a clip from The Simpsons in which Homer writes a letter to Die Hard,
yes,
which I love.
Yes, to Die Hard, to the movie. Yeah.
Not to anybody in particular.
Dear
movie.
Die Hard, I love that part that you're on the roof.
Right.
I love that. And we also used The Simpsons for the intro to the sports sampler.
Yes. So wow. I never realized how Simpsons... indoctrinated we are.
Well, we're both big Simpsons fans.
It's a great show. But we got big Simpsons news, not just the fact that we use them in all of our bumpers.
Right. And, you know, being such big Simpsons fans, we had to share this news with you guys. So, first up, right off the bat, there's some big season 26 news about The Simpsons. It was recently announced, or I guess re-announced, that the season will have two, yes, that's right, two crossover specials.
Dough!
Well,
dough!
The two doughs.
I don't know about dough, but the crossover specials will be, of course, everyone knows about the Family Guy crossover.
Yeah, called, that was announced earlier this year.
Right, called The Simpsons Guy. But they're also doing a crossover with Futurama as well.
Hmm. That's so interesting. Well, both Matt Groening shows there.
That's right, of course. Futurama hasn't reached the same popularity as The Simpsons, but it definitely has a very strong cult following.
Yes.
It's a popular show amongst very a loyal group of fans. But both those crossover specials are coming out this upcoming season. But the other big news is that, once again, there's been some talk about The Simpsons possibly killing off a character in the season opener.
Wow, that's pretty extreme.
Yeah, the last big one that we know of would have been Maude Flanders, right? You remember?
What about
Maude Flanders?
Wasn't the teacher killed off?
Well, she wasn't killed off.
Edna, right?
Yeah, her voice actress died. So they sort of had to write her out.
Yeah. Well.
But, yeah. Well.
Eliminated.
Wait, was she killed off in
the
series?
I thought she was. No?
I don't remember if she actually had an episode where they explained her if she had died or not.
I thought there was, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm confusing the fact that the voice actor died.
I'm not sure. I might have to go back and check that out. But this character, they planned to kill off.
Go!
Yeah, so we could be saying goodbye to some of our favorites. One of the characters that people are pointing fingers at is Krusty the Clown, oddly enough, because the title of the episode is Clown in the Dumps.
Uh-oh.
For the season opener. So we could possibly be looking at the death of Krusty the Clown, or possibly... Krusty's father or Sideshow Bob. The thing that they all have in common is that all their voice actors have won Emmys for their roles on The Simpsons, which is the only clue the producers have given fans.
Hmm.
So what do you think? Out of those three characters, which one would you be the most sad to see go?
Actually, I'd be more sad if it's Krusty himself.
Yeah?
Because...
You wouldn't mind seeing Sideshow Bob go?
Yeah, I think his stick is starting to get a little old that he... doesn't like Bart and everything. I think that's starting to get old.
That's true. There have been a lot of Sideshow Bob episodes.
Yeah. So if he gets killed off, I don't think it's that... You know, I'm not going to be sad if he gets killed off.
Okay.
But if Krusty gets killed off, I'll be a little sad. Because
Krusty
is like a demented Ronald McDonald. Yeah. I love it.
He is. Krusty Burger?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Do you remember the episode with the rib witches?
Yeah, the rib witches. And like
we're not legally allowed to say what type of animal's in this,
yeah,
or something along those lines.
And doesn't Homer have like the last one and he sells it off?
So, yeah.
And some guy has like a hot car and he trades it for him. And then he eats the burger and he's like, I immediately regret this decision.
Yeah, Homer was part of like a traveling group,
yeah,
that would follow it around.
Right.
the country.
Apparently that's based on a true story. There was actually...
About the McDonald's McRib, right?
Right. There was actually a traveling group of McDonald's eaters that would actually eat McRibs.
Now, you're a big fan of the McRib, aren't you?
I do like it.
Yeah. I've never had a McRib.
Oh, you're missing out.
Is it as good as everyone makes it out to be?
No, it's just fun that it's rare.
Yeah.
You know, it only happens for a certain amount of time.
That's true. It is pretty rare.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, reliving some of our favorite Simpsons moments that revolve around Krusty the Clown. So we could possibly be saying goodbye to Krusty at the start of the 26th season.
I hope not.
I hope not, too. But you know what? He had a good run, 26 seasons, 25 seasons, rather,
yeah.
if he ends up being the one to go. I think it will be one of the lesser known ones. I think it'll probably be the father of Sideshow Bob.
Yeah, I think it's more likely Sideshow Bob.
I think Sideshow Bob because Krusty's father isn't that important of a character to kill off, and Krusty is too important. So I think Sideshow Bob is right there in the sweet spot.
Yeah.
You know,
the sweet spot of getting killed.
Well, because he's a recurring character that's popular, but he's not important. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. That's the upcoming 26th season premiere of The Simpsons.
That's right. But
when does that happen?
That the season opens September 28th.
Don't! Yep, so put that on your calendars.
So that's right. September 28th, you're going to have to say goodbye to one of your favorite Simpsons characters. Possibly.
Possibly. Well, somebody's going.
Somebody's going. We will see, though, come September 28th. But that's not the only Simpsons news that we have to talk about. It was also recently announced that The Simpsons will finally, after 25 years, enter syndication. That means that the cable channels are allowed to show reruns. And this is notable because FXX, which is a spinoff of the cable channel FX, has acquired the rights to the entire Simpsons library and will be airing a full series marathon starting in August.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool, considering there's over 550 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the marathon will begin on August 21st at 10 a.m. and conclude September 1st at 12 a.m. And they will be showing the Simpsons movie in its spot between season 18 and season 19.
This is what they're counting that as, like, an episode.
I guess so, yeah. So...
So it's just nonstop.
I guess it's just nonstop, yeah.
Damn.
Every waking moment of their network being on TV will be devoted to The Simpsons.
Wow.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Are you going to be tuning in for some of that if you get FXX?
Yeah, I'll tune in if I get... I don't know if I get FXX.
Yeah, that's the other thing is they say that... This is odd because FXX is only available on about 60% of cable providers in the U.S.
No!
Yeah, so, well, you'll have to check if you have FXX. The other reason you'll have to check if you have FXX is because of, now this is the big thing that I'm excited about, is the Simpsons have announced an app called Simpsons World, The Simpsons World, set to release in October. And to get full use of the app, you're going to have to authenticate that you have access to the FXX network through your cable provider. And that's because this app gives users access to all 552 episodes of The Simpsons library.
Whoa!
For free and on demand.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. All 552 episodes at your fingertips in this app.
That's awesome.
That is pretty awesome. Are you pumped now for October? You have to check if you have FXX.
I know. I got to check. I don't know if I have this.
I know. Everyone's going to be calling their ISPs and asking them to to get FXX on there.
Go!
Yeah. So, I mean, this is big news. I mean, all 500... The Simpsons is one of the most legendary animated shows probably in the history of TV.
Yep.
And to have the whole back catalog available for on-demand streaming, I mean, that's just unprecedented, really. Yep.
I would love to watch the old episodes because they were, in my opinion, they were just so, they were the best.
Oh, yeah. Those like seasons like 3, 4, and 5 around that area. Those were,
yeah.
Those were the golden age.
Yeah. I love the whole who shot Mr. Burns.
Oh, that was one of the best story arcs ever.
Yeah. I love that one.
Another one of my favorite early episodes is the one where Michael Jackson guest starred, Stark Raving Dad.
Yeah.
where he sings the classic Happy Birthday Lisa song.
Yeah, happy birthday, Lisa. Lisa, it's your birthday.
Is that the whole song?
I think so.
It's just that on a loop.
Yeah. Did you know that he's uncredited in that episode?
Really?
Yeah. He did the voice work, but he's uncredited. And also, it's not him singing. Because they didn't get the rights to his singing voice, only his speaking voice, or something odd like that.
So who's singing?
They used an impersonator to sing, but he did the voice work. Very, very strange, but one of my favorite episodes of all time. But back to the app. The Simpsons World app also gives users access to detailed character and episode info. And they even have sections devoted to collectible items such as chalkboard gags. So I guess you can go in and view all the chalkboard gags and couch gags from throughout the series. And this is a really cool thing as well. They're even in talks to bring the original Tracy Ullman shorts to the app sometime in the future. Now, the rights to those are owned by Matt Groening, I think. So it's directly with him. It's not through Fox or anyone else. So I'm hoping that they can come to some type of an agreement to get all this content in one app for free. I mean, this is a this is a free app.
If this is all for free, this is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you just have to make sure you have FXX. That's the only thing. That's the only catch.
Damn you, cable providers!
Yeah. Well, that's something a lot of people have been saying these days.
Yeah.
So October is definitely an exciting month for Simpsons fans across the world.
Yeah, should be pretty cool to see all of these episodes on demand now if
you have
the app.
Yeah, you can go back and watch whatever you want, anytime you want. I'm just really excited about all this news. The Simpsons, this upcoming season, they're really going above and beyond the Call of Duty, aren't they?
Yeah.
Two crossovers, a character death, syndication, and an app.
Well, I mean, there were criticism that they were getting stale for a little bit. So, I mean, I think this is going to be something to, like, you know, breathe some new air into the series.
Do you think this is the shot that they need?
I'll tell you what, adrenaline. The whole Simpsons app thing is awesome. That is definitely going to help out.
I think that's the biggest news coming from The Simpsons since probably The Simpsons movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So, as a Simpsons fan, as a lifelong Simpsons fan, I am very, very excited for this. And I can't wait for October to get here.
Go! Yep, so there you go.
But you know what? Enough with TV news. We've talked a lot about The Simpsons. It's time to get to switch over to one of our favorite movie series of all time. Isn't that right, Rich?
Oh, yeah. Is it time for my favorite one?
Yeah. I thought you were going to say more.
He just stopped. Okay.
No, it's one of our
Okay, I guess I know where I stand on that one.
No, I thought you were going to say more. It's one of our favorite movie franchises, Rich's favorite of all time, I think it's safe to say.
Yeah, it's safe to say that.
Of course, we're talking about Star Wars.
Yeah!
You play the Imperial March and not the... this isn't the Imperial March.
No.
This is the
Jeez, do you even know what you're talking about?
This is the Blockade Runner.
Yeah, well, no, it's when they're entering the Death Star.
Entering the Death Star? I don't know.
You want the Imperial March? I'll give you this one. This is the Imperial March.
It started off very similar, in my defense.
Oh, whatever.
Well, you know what? This is actually a good transition to what we're going to talk about, because we might need some schooling from the lore master.
Yeah, geez.
Rich, you are our resident Star Wars lore master, because there's some plot rumors swirling around about Episode 7.
Yeah, and I'm excited.
We need to verify them with you, though. You need to tell us what's possible and what's not possible.
Okay.
With some of the story details coming out of the woodworks here.
All right. So, how do you want to handle this? Do you want to handle what has been leaked so far, or
let's
the rumors are?
Let's talk about what's been leaked so far. So, this is coming from a website, Badass Digest. Apparently, they've acquired an extremely unofficial outline of Episode 7's broad narrative.
Yeah. And so far, still unconfirmed. Star Wars and Disney and the official head honchos have not yet confirmed or discredited the rumors on this website, which is very interesting that they haven't come out and said that this isn't it or it is it.
Right. Well, it's very general and vague so far, but let's go over some of what they're talking about. So this is a quote from the website. Quote, imagine the standard Star Wars crawl, and when it ends, the camera pans up to the stars, but instead of a spaceship zooming into frame, we see a hand, a severed hand tumbling through space, a severed hand gripping a lightsaber. That hand falls onto a desert planet where it is discovered by characters who will be our heroes. One is Daisy Ridley. The other is John Boyega, who is playing someone trying to change his path in life. Again, keeping it vague here. They recognize the lightsaber as a Jedi relic and decide to return it to the proper people. So what do you think of that brief opening description?
Well, first off, that would fit as a homage to A New Hope.
Right.
That, you know, the genesis of this is all because of some object that somebody who's not related to the bigger picture has found and has no idea what to do with it.
Right. It's
in A New Hope, it's Luke with R2-D2 and right. C-3PO and right. the Death Star plans that you know, he finds out, you know, you know, that the princess is in trouble and...
Right. Save us, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're our only hope.
Right.
Yeah.
And he has to go on this journey to return the droid to their rightful owner, Obi-Wan, and then that starts the whole thing.
It's really a callback to the classic hero's journey.
Right.
I mean, this thing literally falls down from outer space and invites these heroes to undertake this journey into a world that is completely foreign to them. Right?
Yeah. I mean... And I think that's also funny that it's also the hand from Empire Strikes Back.
Is it the hand from the Empire Strikes Back?
They're saying it could be.
Right. So is there anything in the lore that would fit this, or is this just something completely new?
Well, I mean, it fits in with Empire Strikes Back. His hand gets cut off.
But is there
and it just falls down the trash chute.
So you're thinking after, I don't know, what is it, 30 years later, it's finally found its way to the surface of a planet?
Maybe. I mean, there's no rules against, like, it disintegrating or anything.
Here's something interesting. The hand falls onto a desert planet. I mean, obviously the desert planet that we're all thinking of is Tatooine.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming there's other desert planets. There's not just that one.
No.
But do you think
it
could be...
that's the most famous.
Right. And some of the... pictures that have been released sort of give that Tatooine vibe.
Yeah.
They've
been shooting scenes in Tunisia, which is where Tatooine was in the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy.
Right. So are we going back
to
the original planet?
Why not?
Okay. So you're thinking like the opening of A New Hope.
Yeah.
Something falls from space and lands on Tatooine.
Yeah. Why not?
So
it could be a complete hearkening back to A New Hope.
Wow. So is this a positive first step, do you think? If this is true, these are rumors.
Yeah, these are all rumors. That's the thing you got to take with all this.
You got to take it with a big grain of salt, like a grain of salt that you can physically hold.
It's like all around your margarita, and you taste nothing but salt.
It's basically a salt margarita. It's basically a salt lick. But, you know, let's just... you know, for a second, live in a world of fantasy and assume this is true. Is this a good first step?
It would be. That would be an awesome way to kick off the movie.
Yeah, much better than the prequels, right?
Yeah.
Already you're paying homage to the originals.
Yeah, as opposed to trade routes and the boom.
Tax.
Stupid.
Tax legislation and...
yeah, boring.
Whatever. Those freaky things in the water were...
yeah.
Gungans.
But I don't know. If this is... the plot or something that does happen in episode 7, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it gives a good genesis as to, you know, why the new main characters get thrust into this action with the, you know, the old crew from the original trilogy.
Right. Well, you know what? Speaking of the old crew, there's a little bit more to this plot, to this narrative, this rumor of the narrative. Shall I read the next part of the quote?
All right.
All right. So here's the rest of the rumored narrative. Quote, their quest takes them off-world, and they meet up with Han Solo and Chewbacca, who aren't flying around in the Millennium Falcon anymore, but are piloting, and then the author says, well, that would be a spoiler. He goes on to say, anyway, Han and Chewie recognize the lightsaber as Luke's, and they say they haven't seen their friend in 30 years since the events of Return of the Jedi. So begins a quest to find the missing Jedi Master. Meanwhile, on an ice planet, nefarious forces are building a super weapon, one capable of destroying not planets, but entire solar systems. So it is Luke's hand.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Right. So the question that I have is, what are Han and Chewie doing at this point in the timeline? Is it known, or is this completely different from what's already out there?
Well, I mean, in the books that followed, see, here's the problem. That
they did say that they were decanonizing the books.
You know, it's like the Marvel universe. The movies are their own universe.
Right, right.
And the books are their own universe.
Right.
So if you're going by the books, it doesn't make sense, because in the books, Han and Leia get married and have kids. And
right. So is this a future where Han and Leia aren't married then?
Possibly.
Because, I mean, Han and Chewie are, you know, somewhere off-world, and they're not even flying the Millennium Falcon anymore.
Yep.
What's going on with that? Do they...
Bros before hoes.
Bros before hoes. But what happened to the famous starship?
Well, that's something we'll have to find out, I suppose.
And he said the author of this...
We know the Millennium Falcon is in Episode 7 because Harrison Ford got crushed by it.
Right, but... but, I mean, the author of this thing says that they're not piloting the Millennium Falcon now, and he was, you know, he suggests that revealing what they are flying could be a spoiler. So what could be a spoiler? What could they be flying that would be a spoiler for this movie? I can't think of anything. Maybe, like, some type of, like, military ship? Like, are they, like, a part of some type of organization now instead of just rogues?
Maybe they're part of the Rebel Alliance or the Rebel...
But is it the... it's not the Rebel Alliance.
They're no longer the Rebel Alliance. They're now, like, their own republic.
Yeah. So are they like, government ambassadors?
Maybe.
I mean, 30 years down the line, they'd be much older.
Yeah.
They'd be in their 60s. And how do Wookiees age? I just thought. Because Han Solo, obviously, ages like a human, but I don't know. Seeing an older Chewie, that would be interesting.
He just gets grayer.
He just gets grayer. Well, I mean, it makes sense, right?
Uh-huh.
So this is Luke's hand. I think it's odd that Han hasn't seen him in the 30 years since the events of Return of the Jedi. I mean, this sets up a really curious backstory about how these friends and allies got separated.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's anything in the lore that would hint at it, because they are breaking away from it, because I think, from what I understand, they stay relatively close in the expanded universe, don't
they?
Yeah,
they do.
So this is completely different.
Yeah, I would say so.
Wow. So fans are in for a real treat when it comes to this movie.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is that this Episode 7 movie is going to be on its own. It's going to be a new frontier. It's not supposed to have any direct correlations with any books.
Yeah. So I,
it's like Marvel.
It is like Marvel.
This is supposed to be its own standalone universe.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that might be a good first step for this new trilogy.
Yeah.
To separate themselves from what's already out there, so they can really have the creative freedom to do whatever they want.
Right.
So, I mean, this is just really exciting stuff.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where you're just so excited, you want to drink the whole bowl of margarita, but you gotta put the salt on the glass and enjoy that as well, because it's not what it's cracked up to be yet. We don't even know if this report is true yet.
I'm trying to figure out where that analogy went, but
I want to have a drink right now.
You're so excited that you want a drink.
Yes.
Okay. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
All right. Well, you know what? You won't have to wait that much longer. I mean, still quite a bit of a wait for Star Wars Episode 7, but it's coming out December 18th, 2015.
Yep.
So a movie that we thought we'd never see is only a year and a half away.
That is true.
How exciting is that?
I mean, I never thought there'd be an Episode 7.
Yeah, the trilogy of trilogies, right? Oh, man. Well, it's so close that they're leaking rumors about the plot. Yeah. I mean, that's how real this project is, folks.
Yep. And J.J. Abrams, it's up to you. Make sure it's good.
Yeah, get it done.
Don't put Jar Jar Binks in. Thank you.
Plot twist. The nefarious group on the ice planet is Jar Jar Binks.
Okay. Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Yeah, hopefully we won't have any Jar Jars or whatever his race was called. The
Gungans.
Gungans, yeah.
No, thank you.
Oh, they were like the Ewoks of the for the prequel trilogy.
Yep.
Weren't they? Although I never really hated the Ewoks as much as other people did.
No, I like the Ewoks.
There was always this, I don't know, it always seemed like people disliked them. I guess because they like, oh, these little teddy bears took down the
Empire.
The Empire, yeah.
With their sticks and stones.
Well, actually, Mythbusters did that. The crushing the AT-ST, right? The Walker?
Yeah.
The AT-ST?
Yeah, look at you. Yeah, that is the AT-ST.
I know some Star Wars
there
stuff,
Rich. There
you go,
yeah.
Uh-huh. So they tested that on Mythbusters, and that contraption the Ewoks built could do some serious damage if it were real.
Awesome.
Yeah, so, you know, those Ewoks, they know what they're doing.
I'm going to have to check that episode of Mythbusters out.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a whole special about a bunch of different Star Wars myths.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you'll have to check that one out. Will the Ewoks make a return?
Probably not.
Damn. Well, they didn't come back in the prequel either. So.
No.
That was disappointing.
You really like the Ewoks.
Well, did you watch the standalone Ewok movie?
Yes.
With Wicked? Yeah. Come on. That was good.
It was cute.
Yeah. It was cute. It was. Oh, but so there you go. Some new plot details, or rumors, rather.
Rumors. They're rumors as of right now.
And that's the thing to take away from this, is that they are just rumors, so you have to take them with a grain of salt. But nonetheless, some exciting news about Star Wars Episode 7, set to release December 18th, 2015. So stay tuned. We'll keep you guys updated if anything else happens to break between now and then.
All right, and from one Disney franchise to the next,
and I
actually alluded to it with
you,
the Marvel Universe.
Several times, yeah.
Apparently, Marvel has revealed their next couple of film release dates to plan out the rest of their Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's right. The Marvel Cinematic Universe is entering, I guess, Phase 3, right? They're getting ready to enter Phase 3.
Yeah. They have to wait. You still need Avengers 2.
Avengers 2, right.
And then that completes the second phase.
Right. So, for those that don't know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe set up I don't know, how do you want to refer to it? These phases where they release a bunch of character films leading up to the Avengers.
Right.
And then, you know, the Avengers happened and it was like the biggest movie ever. Then they released, you know, sequels to all those character films, and now we're on the cusp of Guardians of the Galaxy and Avengers 2 in 2015, May of 2015. And that will complete Phase 2 before moving on to Phase 3, supposedly the last phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Correct.
Or so we're led to believe. But here's the thing, Rich. They've announced 8 upcoming films between 2016 and 2019.
That's a lot of films.
That's a lot of films. Yeah. Yeah, starting with Captain America 3 in May of 2016, they have, 8 more films. The question is, what could these movies possibly be? Because as of right now, we only have Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, and I guess the Hulk. They're talking about bringing back the Hulk, but so far they haven't. So, I mean, are these other character films, do you think? Or are they going to try and cram another Avengers in there somewhere?
Well, I mean, I know they've been hammering the fact that they want an Ant-Man movie. I don't know why.
Well, Ant-Man is scheduled to release in July of 2015. I can't understand why.
Yeah.
I don't know who was clamoring for an Ant-Man movie.
The Ant-Man people.
The Ant-Man people. Well, you know what? They figured we can't get the one. The
Ant-Man people.
Ant-Man people.
The amps are coming.
I like it. I like it. I think that they're doing Ant-Man because they figured if we can't have the big bug superhero, we'll get the other Buck superhero.
They can't have Spider-Man?
They can't have Spider-Man, they'll get Ant-Man. They can't get Ant-Man, they'll have, I don't know, Mosquito Man, or, I don't know, the Flea. Wasn't that an actual thing?
I don't know. Marvel's.
No, I'm talking about the weird. Oh no, that was the Tick, the big blue guy. You remember that cartoon, right?
No, I don't.
No, I think it was the Tick. I might be wrong though. But anyway, the point is, Marvel has a lot of movies coming up, and some of the producers are saying, you know, there are going to be existing franchises, new franchises, and possibly new characters. So, I mean, there's a lot of possibilities. I'm wondering if we could see a Black Widow-centric movie.
Oh,
do you think that could be a possibility?
That's right, because there was like Black Widow and Hawkeye that were just kind of thrown in to the Avengers, and they never had their own movie. So maybe, maybe they could have a movie.
Black Widow, I think definitely, because she's been in a couple movies, other movies. Like she was in Iron Man 2, wasn't she?
Right.
I can't remember if she was in Iron Man 3. I don't think so.
No. Actually, none of the Avengers were in Iron Man 3.
Well, with the exception of Bruce Banner at the end.
Yeah.
But that's the Easter egg at the end. But I think Black Widow could be a strong case for a standalone movie. Hawkeye, I don't know. They really didn't focus on him that much in the Avengers. Not enough to warrant a whole film.
Yeah.
But what I really want to see is another Hulk movie. I don't know about you. Do you want to see a Mark Ruffalo standalone Hulk movie?
I think that would be justified for him. You know?
I think so. I think he did a great job.
Yeah, he did a great job as the Hulk. And I mean, sure, technically there's a Hulk movie, but it's because, you know, because Edward Norton's in it. But, you know, yeah, why not? Ruffalo should get his own shot as the Hulk in a standalone movie.
I think so. And, you know, they have those seven movies between 2016 and 2019. So he can definitely have his own standalone movie somewhere in there. Maybe sometime in 2017, because Marvel's releasing three movies that year.
That's a lot in a year.
That is a lot, especially since they're going to be releasing. I mean, if it sticks to this schedule, things could change, but they've been pretty strict with it so far,
mm-hmm.
you know, the past phase and a half. But in 2017, they're releasing a movie in May, in July, and November. So this is a really tight release schedule.
Yeah, they better hope no one breaks their leg or anything.
I mean, between May and July, the first movie isn't even out of theaters yet by the time the second movie hits. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's only a few months right there.
Are you worried that they might be competing against each other?
No, because people will go see every single Marvel movie that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not worried about competing at all. I mean, every movie that comes out, it seems to break records or do better than the last one in the series. Am I right?
Well, I would say for the Avengers, they do.
The Avengers, yeah. And Iron Man. Iron Man's very popular.
Iron Man, yeah. That's a mainstay.
Thor, though, is gaining some popularity.
Yeah.
You know, especially with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. focusing on some of the Thor plot lines and the Captain America plot lines as well. So we could see a little bit of a surge in interest in both of those franchises. But I'm thinking they might be planning a Guardians of the Galaxy 2 movie somewhere in there.
Oh yeah, if that kick starts off,
I mean,
yeah.
Already there's a ton of hype for Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't know if you're excited for it. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I love the trailer to it.
Oh, the trailer's great. And I just love the concept of the film. It's like a very tongue-in-cheek. It's a mix between sci-fi and fantasy and it seems very fun. You know, it doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah, it's like a mixture of sci-fi with, you know, these four guys never thought they could be together.
Yeah.
But now they've got to save the galaxy.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like an intergalactic A-team.
Yeah.
I don't know, is it four guys or is it five? I can't remember.
And what, the A-team?
No, the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I think it's four.
I'm not sure. They have the tree, the raccoon, the wrestler dude, the green chick, and Star-Lord. It's five.
Five?
Five, yeah. Same thing. It's 18 plus one. It's A-team and a raccoon.
And a raccoon.
Do the A-team have a pet dog or something? Because it's basically the same thing.
There you go.
But I'm really excited for Guardians of the Galaxy. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility for them to have already thought up a sequel.
Right.
That's the way Marvel works with these movies. They went in making the first Iron Man knowing there was going to be a sequel, possibly right. multiple sequels. So I wouldn't put it past them to already have another one or even two Guardians of the Galaxy films lined up. Here's another question. Do you think we could see another Iron Man film? Because this schedule, you have to remember, we're already at Iron Man 3, and we've had two Thors, and we've had two Captain Americas, with a third Captain America announced. So are they going to be doing fourth films of these franchises, or do you think that would be a little overkill?
Well, I mean, it depends on the contract that they signed.
That's right, because they're all under contract for a certain amount of films.
Right, and I believe it's six.
Right, that's the standard length.
So if he's already made three Iron Man movies...
Plus the Avengers. And plus the Avengers 2, that's five.
Yeah.
And
it's starting to get up there.
Depending on how cameos count, Avengers 2 could be his sixth movie. Because he has a cameo in The Hulk. Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah,
does.
He does.
But so, same thing with Captain America, right? Not that he has a cameo, but he's getting up there. All those main actors are at five or six films.
Right. Like,
except for Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, unless there is a contract extension at some point, yeah, they could be running into some issues there.
So the point that I'm making is that could Phase 3 be completely new heroes? Because it seems kind of a stretch to bring them all back for a fourth movie, some of them. Iron Man 4. I mean, a stretch, but not out of the realm of possibility.
It could be. I mean, especially if they run into that problem with contract disputes, yeah.
Right.
They're going to need to have some new characters.
And there could be contract disputes.
Yeah.
Especially if the Avengers 2 performs as well as we think it will. Mm-hmm. Right? In terms of money.
Right.
Because, you know, that's always the big thing. Robert Downey Jr. is getting paid, you know, what is it, like hundreds of millions of dollars. And the other actors want to be paid just as much because they're huge stars themselves now.
Yeah.
But also, it seems like Marvel isn't afraid of replacing actors either.
No, they're not. I mean, look at Mark Ruffalo.
Right, exactly.
You know, Edward Norton didn't want to stick around. All right, fine.
And I think they've threatened to replace the guy that plays Thor at one point too, haven't they?
I don't know. Did they?
I thought they did. I thought that he had complained about his contract before, and they had said they were willing to part ways with him.
Wow.
Which would be a shame.
Yeah.
I think I remember that a year or two ago.
Well, I hope they don't. I like this group of actors that are involved with the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It is, I think, the perfect cast, really.
Yeah.
When I think of Thor, I can't think of anybody else. When I think of Iron Man, I can't think of anybody else.
Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could say that for any of those people, though. I mean, I really honestly believe that. They found such good fits for those characters.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
So, but I'm just really excited seeing this schedule. Three movies in 2017.
That's a lot. That's a lot on the plate for Marvel.
That is a lot. But I mean, when it's all said and done, we're going to be getting eight movies from 2016 to 2019. And only one of those we know about. We know about Captain America, but the others, they're still unannounced. But there's a lot of movies to be had.
Well, there you go. Cramped plans for Marvel coming up, but that does mean a lot of movies in store. Let's hope that none of those get delayed or anything, because if they do, that's going to set up some production problems.
Yeah, and if one gets delayed, then they might all have to be delayed.
Yeah.
Because of the way the cinematic universe works, right?
Right.
Oh, boy.
So, we'll hope that Marvel stays on track with this Phase 3 planning, if you will.
Yeah, all Marvel fans have a lot to look forward to in the coming years.
That's right. But there you go. A lot of movie and TV news to throw at you there in that entertainment entree. I think we're going to need a little bit of a break before we get into our next segment, which is your weekly dose of odd news in the non-fortune cookie odd news. definitely your favorite segment of the show, isn't that right?
Oh, that's right. I'm looking forward to it.
So don't go anywhere. Your batch of odd news coming up. More of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Don't go anywhere.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Trash City Beads, the great bead store with the weird name, selling beads and findings for over 25 years. Visit us online at trashcity.com. Like us on Facebook at Trash City Beads. Unique beads, charms, crystals, and findings from all over the world at wholesale prices. No store, no showroom, we are online only. Visit us at trashcity.com. Trash City Beads is your online source for the best beads on the planet. Remember the name, Trash City Beads.
Oh yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, and we are rip-roaring ready to go for our next segment. It's time for your weekly dose of odd news, isn't that right, Mike?
That's right, it's time for the wacky, the wild, the always crazy and fun, non-fortune cookie odd news!
So, sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen, be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
In your face, ha ha!
Yeah, after balling, I go clubbing. Then I'm hugging.
All right, and there you go. You know Mike's after podcast plans for tonight.
Yep. I'm going to go clubbing, then hugging, and whatever else that thing said.
Balling.
Balling, that's
yeah,
right. Yeah, after balling, I go clubbing. Then I'm hugging.
So there
yeah,
you go.
So
lots of things. You're a busy man, Mike.
Yep, I got the evening all planned out. But for right now, we're going to dive into some odd news. And for those that don't know, here on the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. I have no idea what he's got in store for me. He keeps the news articles hidden and secret from me, so I'm always surprised. My reactions are my gut reactions, my genuine first time hearing these stories. And I love this segment because it's always a surprise. It's a surprise for me, for the fans, and even for Rich, because sometimes we just go so far off the rails. It's impossible to predict.
Yeah, you never know where exactly we head and where we travel to in the odd news.
That's
isn't
right,
that right?
Because it's a globe-trotting thing. We're
yeah.
always going to new and fun locations.
That's right. So you know what? You want to just dive right into this?
Let's do it. Where are we going for our first odd news story?
All right, our first story is Seattle.
Seattle? Another
yeah.
Seattle one.
Seattle's been picking up the pace on these odd news stories.
Yeah,
here.
Really. Last week, I think they had two stories.
Yeah.
In fact, I know they had two stories because I'm looking at our new Crispy Noodle official odd news database.
Mike is actually compiling all of the locations that we visit to
yeah,
in the odd
yeah.
news from now on, so will be an interesting study. Where do we end up in the non-fortune cookie odd news?
I figure, you know, we don't track many stats, but this should be one that we track from now on.
Why not?
So what happened in Seattle this week?
All right. Well, fire officials said that a West Seattle man who was on a quest to rid his home of spiders ended up torching his abode.
Didn't we have a story like this a few weeks ago?
Yes, we did.
Somebody else decided to burn down their house because of a spider?
Yep.
Okay.
The man told firefighters that he saw spiders in his laundry room and decided that the best way to take care of it was with his trusty lighter and can of spray paint.
Oh, come on. Are you serious?
Making a miniature flamethrower.
In his laundry room. You
yep.
know, the place with all the flammable clothes and detergents.
Yeah.
This seems like a very bad idea.
Well, when he used the lighter and the can of spray paint.
Spray paint. Ooh, wow. Don't spray that near your pets.
Yeah, spay or spay or neutered. Well, anyway, after he took his lighter and can of spray paint with him, he inadvertently set his wall on fire.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
No, there is no accidentally in this, because if you are literally throwing flames, which is what a flamethrower does, they don't just stop before they hit your wall. They hit
it's
your wall.
It's not a video game.
This is not a video game where you can just blow fire at stuff and expect it to not burn. Your house will burn down.
When the wall got on fire, the blaze quickly spread throughout the home. The building, which was a rental home, will cost $40,000 to repair and will cost another $20,000 to replace the contents of his home.
Oh, my gosh. All this because of a spider.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Yep. The Red Cross is finding temporary housing for the man. He will be taken care of by the Red Cross, but unfortunately, all of his possessions destroyed because he wanted to destroy a bunch of spiders with a homemade flamethrower. You can't write things like that up.
No, you can't. I can't believe a second one in what, like 3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah,
Did we have a story about this a few weeks ago?
We did.
Where some lady like lit a towel on fire, was swinging it around like a lunatic.
Yeah, now she was asking for it. I don't know what the hell that is.
Although this guy was using a flamethrower, you know, at that point it was a flamethrower inside his laundry room. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
What did he really expect was going to happen? I mean,
it'll be okay. It's like a video game. The fire will just stop at the wall.
Best case scenario, he kills the spiders and lights a basket of laundry on fire. Worst case scenario, he burns down the house.
Yeah. So there you go. Our first story there. All right. Let's dive into the next one here. And this one is just... It's succinct and to the point.
Okay.
A Michigan woman who tried to use a shotgun to, quote, make a point during a family argument.
You don't use shotguns to make a point. Okay.
She ended up shooting herself in the face.
Wait, what? How do you accidentally shoot yourself in the face when trying to make a point? Was she saying, like... Was she using it as a demonstration, like, oh, look, you shouldn't do this, and then she blows her face off?
She was in an argument with family members, and to make the situation more dramatic, she grabbed her shotgun. And what she did was she wanted to make noise with the gun, so she took the butt of the gun and slammed the shotgun directly onto the floor. And when it hit the floor, the shotgun went off and fired straight at her face.
Oh, my gosh.
Bam!
That's just awful.
When police responded after receiving reports of a gunshot victim in the area, they found the 51-year-old with a small facial wound. She told officers that she wanted to use the shotgun to, quote, make a point to her family during an argument that occurred. Well, you made a point.
she couldn't just, like, stomp her foot or, like, pound her fist on the table.
Nope.
She had to hit the shotgun
on
the ground.
She had to pull out the shotgun and hit it on the ground.
This is interesting. This is interesting that she had the shotgun ready to go during this argument. Stop and think about that for a second. Who has an argument with a shotgun in hand? Right? What was she doing with the shotgun before the argument? Was she bringing the shotgun to the argument just in case?
Yeah, just in case. Just in case didn't go her way.
These are the questions you have to wonder about. Why did she have the shotgun ready to go in the first, locked and loaded?
Yeah.
While she was in this argument.
With her family.
She's lucky she shot herself because she could have ended up shooting someone else. You know what I mean? She goes in angry with a loaded shotgun. She had something else on her mind.
Yeah.
She just happened to shoot herself first.
Which everyone just feels sorry at instead of sending her to prison for attempted murder. Well, the woman was taken to St. Mary's of Michigan, and she's expected to make a full recovery, so that's good.
So she can get back to her shooting ways.
Yeah, her shotgunning ways. Awesome.
Don't bring shotguns to arguments, because you don't bring a gun to an argument unless you're planning on using it. Is the point that I'm making.
Well,
right?
There you go. Well, maybe she was just doing it for dramatic effect. I don't know.
Well, you don't get more dramatic than blowing your face off.
Yeah.
All right. So what do we got for our next odd news story?
All right. Our next story. Where's the beef? Well, apparently it's at a Washington burger restaurant.
Unicorns! Show ponies! Where's the beef?
Yeah, we need him. Where's the beef? Oh, it's another Seattle. What? Seattle is just coming out of the woodworks.
Do we have to change our thing?
We might have to. I didn't even realize that.
Look, you know, now that I have the official stats here, this is four stories for Seattle compared to one from Florida.
Yeah, Seattle's taken over
since
here.
Last week. This is ridiculous. Okay, so what else happened in Seattle?
Well, a Seattle woman was arrested and booked into King County Jail for assault and harassment after she allegedly dropped her pants and decided to make a scene at a Dick's drive-in location.
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
Oh my god, that's the best use of that quote that we've ever had.
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
Restaurant staff called police after a woman began harassing customers and refused to leave the establishment.
And then to show them, she pulled down her pants, right?
The woman became upset and then tossed a condiment holder and a charity donation box at the employees. The woman also hit an employee in the arm with the condiments. Officers arrived and were told that the woman then pulled her pants down and performed a very lewd act in front of Dick's drive-in location.
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
I love the fact that the place that she was doing all this, it was called Dick's.
Yeah.
I mean...
It's perfect.
It is perfect.
Thank you, Seattle. Well, she must have tossed around a lot of condiments because the restaurant claims that she did more than $75 worth of damage.
That seems about reasonable.
You think that for a lot of condiments and a charity donation box?
A donation box, yeah. I mean, I don't know. How much do condiments cost?
They can't cost that much, can they?
Well, it depends how much she threw.
Well, she threw around a lot and naked.
And naked, yeah.
That alone causes damage just on another plane.
I don't understand how people can get to the point of anger where they feel the need to strip. What will taking your clothes off accomplish other than making you look ridiculous?
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
Yeah, just...
Can you imagine, like, I'm so angry, let me take my pants off!
I'm so angry, I'm gonna get naked!
Yeah.
What?
I can't contain my anger, so I must strip!
Can you imagine if that happened in, like, political debates? You know, like, you have, like, Obama versus Mitt Romney and, like,
John McCain.
I'm so angry at your political policies, I need to strip down. What?
Why did he use a seductive voice there? Oh, tax refunds. They just start taking their ties off. You got to get the really old politicians in on it, though. I mean, that's the...
What, you think of, like, John McCain or something?
Joe Biden.
Oh, yes.
Tax reform, immigration, don't forget the education, and let's talk tax reform.
You make me so angry! It's all takes, apparently.
Yeah, and people just start stripping.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Okay.
All happening at Dick's Drive-In. Perfect, Perfect location to do it in.
It's just one of those aspects about society that you just have to accept, that there will be people that get so angry that they must strip.
Yeah.
All right. So.
All right. You ready for our next story?
Stripping people in Seattle. What do we got next?
Now, we're not going to go too far. We're going to California.
Ah, good old California.
A California man was arrested on suspicion of commercial burglary charges after he returned to a fast food chicken restaurant for lunch hours after He had burglarized it.
Really?
Yep.
Come on. Why didn't you just take some food while you were there the first time?
I forgot.
You forgot.
El Polo Loco. It's apparently a Mexican place. I got to practice my Spanish here.
Oh, boy.
El Polo Loco workers recognized Daniel Lee Warren from security camera footage of the burglary because he didn't even change clothes prior to returning to the restaurant. Oh, my God.
Did he turn towards the camera and smile?
Que te vas a hacer pupita.
He even brought a horse. Why not?
That's what the manager said when he saw him.
Que te vas a hacer pupita.
I forgot about that horse clip. We haven't used that one in a while.
Oh, that's like one of my favorite ones, too.
Que te vas a hacer pupita.
Well, he was especially recognizable in the footage from the drive-thru because he was wearing a hat with a cartoon neon pink face on it, and he still had it on when he returned to lunch.
He deserved to get caught.
Que te vas a hacer pupita.
Well, guess what?
What?
They actually had him wait in line. And while he was waiting in line, the manager called the police to come to arrest him.
Oh, my gosh.
What an idiot. He just waited there in line.
Yeah, though, he's got balls, though, to go back to the place he just robbed to order lunch.
Oh, my gosh. I mean,
he probably was at the same cash register, too. He just robbed, like, it was probably the same cashier. It's like poor little Jim Bob, you know, 17-year-old kid working after school.
He's just waiting there enjoying the music. I sail to Bevo. I sail to Bevo. Yeah, that's what was
that's
playing
the
in the background.
Shortest song ever.
Yeah. Well, it didn't take that long. The police were just ready to go arrest him at that point.
The police had barely gotten through at the crime scene the first time.
Yeah.
They probably...
Well, this is actually a nice place I robbed.
Yeah. I'll have to remember to come back here to have lunch sometime.
Well, it won't be anytime soon. Warren was sentenced to 2 years in prison last month, but was free as part of a post-release community supervision program. As a result, he will be sentenced to the maximum 2 years for burglary charges.
Oh, wow.
So he won't be coming back to that fine establishment anytime soon and enjoying that wonderful music. All right, so there you go there.
All righty then.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yep.
Police investigating the theft of clothing and jewelry from a Southern Illinois boutique say that they arrested a woman after she posted Facebook photos of herself wearing one of the stolen items in question.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
How many stories do we have where people get caught because they post the dumb stuff they do on Facebook?
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
Police arrested 27-year-old Daniel Saxton of West Frankfort, Illinois, earlier this month on a misdemeanor retail theft charge. She's right now free after posting bail. Authorities say a distinctive leopard print dress was among the items stolen from Morty's Boutique in West Frankfort. The store's co-owner, Kurt Williams, said he posted about the stolen items on Facebook, and that's when people who saw Williams' posting and those of Daniel Saxton made the connection.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
Saxton apparently was on her Facebook page and posted a selfie.
Oh my gosh.
Of herself in the stolen leopard print dress and commenting that it looked really good on her.
But first, let me take a selfie.
Yep, a selfie did her in. A selfie.
You know what? Eventually we get to the point in society where the police catch everyone because of selfies.
Yeah, I mean...
There is no more incriminating type of photo you can take than the selfie.
Than a selfie with stolen items that you're wearing.
You might as well be wearing a neon sign that says, I'm guilty of the following crimes, and then list
please
them.
Arrest me.
Yeah, please arrest me.
But first, let me take a selfie.
Oh my God, idiot. Wearing this the stolen dress and posting it.
Hashtag got it for free.
We're starting like, hashtags for
yeah,
it?
Yeah, hashtag I just stole this. Like, I mean, come on, really?
But first, let me take a selfie.
Hashtag stolen selfie.
There you go.
Oh my God. So, yeah, there you go. Done in because she took a selfie.
Oh, wow. I just don't understand. I don't understand why people think that they'll be able to get away with it.
They do.
Oh, boy. Well, I guess she deserved to get caught.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to be that dumb, you deserve to get caught. There's no two ways around it.
All right, you ready for our next story here?
Yep.
Police in a New Orleans suburb say a health food store worker is accused of using a $200 company check to pay off a prostitute after a steamy backroom encounter. Yeah, getting it on in the back room. Well, they were caught on surveillance cameras. It all came to light when the store's manager reviewed surveillance footage after finding that a company check was missing. The company owner, Susano, I think I got that right. Susano. Yeah. The company owner, Susano, said that 24-year-old Charles West was jailed after being booked on charges of theft, forgery, and soliciting prostitution. He has not yet gotten an attorney yet. I don't think that's a good sign.
Nope.
Police say that they also plan to arrest the woman for prostitution once they can identify her. The police chief said that, quote, we can't make this stuff up. I'm literally at a loss for words. This is unbelievable.
So he used a company check.
Yeah.
To pay for the prostitute.
Yeah. On the house.
On the house.
Hey, baby, come on over. It's on the house. What? You can't get away with that.
If only the world worked that way, right? I'm going to dip into the company fund so I can sleep around with prostitutes.
Dip around the petty cash.
Just write it down as travel expenses or something.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Oh, my gosh. It's part of the new healthcare plan. It's taking care of my sexual health.
That's a good healthcare plan right there.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Can I get that with Obamacare?
Yeah. I thought it was covered under Obamacare.
Yeah. No? It didn't mention that on the website. I could have sworn.
Yeah, the website's been glitchy lately.
Haven't you seen that? Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. They need to update their prostitution section.
Prostitution section?
There's a whole tab, prostitution.
What prostitutes you can sleep with? What you can't sleep with?
Yeah.
How you can pay them? How you
right,
can't pay
right,
them?
Right, yeah. It's highly regulated now.
Oh, my God. All right, ready for our next story here?
Yes.
All right. Well, guess what? We have another dumb robber.
Okay. Is there any other type?
Not on the odd news here.
Okay, what do we got?
A 24-year-old man who, a month after being released from prison for a bank robbery, decided to hold up the same bank and ended up holding up the same bank teller.
Oh, come on. Is this guy related to the dude with the restaurant?
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
Yeah, this is pretty bad. You even get the same teller? Really?
Why doesn't he just walk away when he notices it's the same teller?
Yeah.
Why does he actually go through with it?
Uh, Joshua James Driscoll was arrested for robbing a KeyBank branch in Bremerton, Washington in October. He had just completed his prison sentence. So literally fresh out of jail.
And the first thing he does is go to rob a bank.
The same bank.
The same bank.
That put him behind bars.
The same teller.
Yep.
Hey, man, they really don't learn, do they?
Nope. Court documents show that Driscoll decided to go into the bank and gave the teller a note demanding $10,000.
And he goes, hey, you look familiar.
Yep. Well, not only did the teller recognize him, but a detective that was on guard recognized him from previous security footage and immediately used the panic button to get the cops over to the bank.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about dumb criminals.
Yep.
I can't believe that. He seriously must be related to the dude that robbed the restaurant earlier in the Odd News, right?
Yeah, it just seems very similar here.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, now he's going to get an extra 129 months in prison for this new crime of him trying to rob the same bank with the same teller.
129 months.
Yep. That's 10 years.
Yeah. Why didn't they just say 10 years?
Why not? I don't know.
That's the oddest part of the story. The fact that it's 129 months, 14 days, and 17 hours.
This judge is very specific.
Very specific, yeah.
That's how they do things in Washington.
In Washington.
Very specific.
This isn't another Seattle story, is it?
No, this is in Bremerton, Washington.
Oh, just regular Washington. Okay. Yeah.
But what is up? Yeah.
Washington's been getting weirder. This is very strange.
Yeah, what the hell is going on here?
I don't know. I don't know if I trust Washington anymore.
All right, you ready for our next story here?
Yep.
All right, well, this stolen toy wasn't for a tot.
Okay.
38-year-old Misty Ann Lee was arrested after she was trying to steal a vibrator from a Spencer's gift shop in South Carolina, but the way she decided to hide it was weird. She tried to hide it behind her child in a stroller.
Aww.
Yeah.
Why do people use their kids to try and steal stuff?
So, well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
So low class. I mean, the robbers of the golden age never used to use kids to steal stuff.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Lee went into Spencer's Friday afternoon with her stroller. She then went to the love unit. I guess Spencer's has a love unit. I don't know. Wait a minute. The last time I've been in a Spencer's is seriously like when I was like 15. I seriously don't remember the last time I was in a Spencer's.
Yeah, I don't know if people shop in Spencer's past the age of 15.
Yeah.
I mean, offense if you do. I'm just saying. Yeah,
you like go there because, like, at the time it seems
it's like,
risque.
Ooh,
vibrator, ooh,
yeah, ooh, there's a naked women on these cards, ooh, oh, there's a poop T-shirt, you know, it's like dumb stuff like that.
Yeah, so.
And then you get past a certain age, you realize everything's just online. So
right. So
kids, don't listen to what we're saying. Ignore us completely.
Lee decided to go into Spencer's Friday afternoon with her stroller. She then picked up a vibrator from the love unit of the store.
What is it, like a vending machine?
I guess there's a section called the love unit. I don't know. Once again, the last time I was in a Spencer's was seriously when I was like 15, 16.
You'll have to go back to Spencer's to find out what this is all about.
Yeah.
You have to do research.
Obviously. The store manager told police that she watched Lee grab a vibrator and slide it behind the young child in the stroller. When the manager confronted Lee allegedly claimed she had no idea what the manager was talking about. The manager then reached into the stroller and pulled out the vibrator. Lee claimed that it's a play toy for her child.
It's a rattle. See? It rattles. She loves playing with it.
Yeah.
Oh, that just became really dirty and just awful.
Well, that's when the manager had enough and called the cops on her, and she was arrested promptly. Yeah.
You can't – look, you can't pass off a vibrator as a toy with someone that works at the shop that sells the vibrators.
Yeah.
Right?
That's not going to fly.
No.
Forwarding booklet to your quarters includes diagrams, exercises, can supply oils or ointments to reduce discomfort. Enjoy yourself while possible, Shepard. We'll be here studying cell reproduction. Much simpler, less alcohol and mood music required.
Yes, Morden.
Morden giving you some advice there.
Oh, that's a great, that is a great part of Mass Effect 2.
But yeah, this woman could have used some advice, because vibrators should not go with your kid.
No, vibrators are not children's toys.
No, no, doesn't work like that. All right, you ready for this story here?
Yep.
This one is pretty creepy.
Okay. Creepy in a scary way, or creepy in a I can't believe that happened way?
The second, I would say.
Okay.
This is very creepy, so
okay.
You might want to get the kids away from the computer from this one.
Uh-oh. We've never had to issue a warning like that. I'm kind of on edge now.
Yeah, this is a creepy one.
Okay.
David Keith Hathaway, who is the town marshal of Millersburg, Indiana, faces criminal charges after he admitted that he stole underwear from his son's girlfriend.
Ooh.
Yeah, this is, I'm telling you, this one's just creepy.
That's not good.
Yeah. The girl who lives in the household told Indiana State Police she first suspected something was going on when she found a pair of her panties in a gallon-sized bag in the house, along with several other pairs of female underwear. Both the victim and her boyfriend, which is Hathaway's son, confronted the suspect about his panty collection. He said that it was just a joke.
Just okay. A joke?
Yeah, this is a weird joke.
They said they found several other
women's
panties.
Uh-huh.
So he's been joking with a lot of people.
Yeah, this doesn't hold up.
It's just a joke. A really elaborate joke with multiple women.
Yeah, and a gallon-sized bag of panties.
And they don't know about this joke, which makes it really funny? Question mark?
Question mark? But if you have to say question mark, it's probably not it.
Yeah, let that be a lesson. If you have to add a question mark to the end of your joke, it's probably not a joke.
Yeah.
It's more along the lines of sexual harassment.
After the victim found another pair of her panties crumbled under her bed in a place that she did not throw them, she and her boyfriend set up a hidden camera in the room. They were shocked by what they saw. According to the legal affidavit, the video showed David Hathaway, the town marshal of Millersburg.
Yeah, this is the town marshal.
Yeah. Breaking into her room. So actually like...
Forced entry.
Yeah, getting through the lock in the room. Picking up a pair of underwear she had left on the floor. Holding the panties up to his nose.
Of course.
Sniffing them.
Of course.
Then
what else would a creeper do?
Then putting those panties in his pocket into another room where he placed them in a safe.
Okay.
There he kept another gallon-sized bag of women's panties.
Oh, my gosh.
Where do you find time to set up a safe
for women's panties?
And collect this many panties.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my. Yeah.
You know what I just thought of that's really even creepier is that he's the town marshal, right?
Yeah.
So I can imagine him, like, investigating things and, like, going to people's houses.
And then taking ones as they're going by.
Well, I mean, how do you fill up a gallon? How do you fill up multiple gallon things in your panty safe? You know?
Your panty safe.
If you have a panty safe.
You have a problem.
You have a problem.
Okay. Hashtag panty safe. You know what? At this point.
Don't tell people to do that.
At this point, you might as well take a damn selfie and hashtag panty safe. Jesus Christ. Like, honestly.
Oh my gosh.
Panty safe.
Panty safe.
Oh. There you go.
Yeah. A good lesson is if you have to lock up anything that you don't want people to know about, in that way, it's probably a bad thing.
Yeah.
This is so bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Well, as a result, David Hathaway has been charged with counts of criminal conversion, which is the crime of...
The hell is that?
Yep, I'll explain it. This is the crime of exerting unauthorized control over property of another person that is not yours. As a result, he faces up to 1 year in jail and a fine up to $5,000.
Wow.
So, there you go. Else, and a new thing you learned, criminal conversion.
Yeah, criminal conversion.
There you go. All right. And I've got one last story, but it's also kind of an interesting little wrap-up of a certain theme that has been prevalent among the odd news.
So wait, you said this is our last story?
Yes.
Oh, wait. Have we... We've not had one from Florida.
Well, I'm going to get to that.
Oh, whoops.
You're jumping the gun.
I'm sorry.
Thank you very much.
I was getting worried that we weren't going to have one from Florida again.
Well, don't worry. We do have a Florida story.
Okay.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yes, don't worry. Florida's got a story. And it's one that we're very familiar with.
Okay. Slightly worried now.
Yep.
What are we familiar with?
42-year-old Jennifer Renee Crosby was arrested in Florida on charges of drug possession during a traffic stop. Officers say that they noticed Crosby was shaking and they asked her if she was carrying drugs. At first, she said no. But then when the investigator called for a female deputy to come and give her a pat down, she then admitted, "I have drugs up my hoo-ah."
Hoo-ah.
Yep.
We haven't had a story like this in a while.
We're taking two birds with one stone on this one. A Florida and a hoo-ah story.
Hoo-ah!
Oh my gosh. It's Florida and they're crazy.
Yep.
And they stick stuff up there. That shouldn't be there.
You want to add that to that song?
No.
Hoo-ah!
Although we've had enough of them that we really could.
Right. So, okay. I decided, you know... For those that might be new to this to the podcast, I would like to just go over a brief history.
Oh no.
I'm just going to go over a brief history of all of the hoo-ha stories that I've pulled up in the last 2 years.
Not even 2 years. It's been only a year and a half.
Yes. So here we go.
So what things have been in women's hoo-ahs over the past year and a half?
All right. Well, we had in Tennessee a 19-year-old who had a loaded 5-shot .22 caliber mini revolver up there.
Hoo-ah!
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah, I could make that. Could make that. Clips true.
Yeah.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah. So we've had that. We covered this story. A masseuse in Las Vegas was accused of snatching a customer's $35,000 Rolex and putting it up her hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah!
Yep, we had that.
Yeah.
We also went over the ex-wife of Pulitzer Prize winning author Cormac McCarthy, Jennifer McCarthy, who was arrested after she whipped a gun out of her hoo-ah and threatened her boyfriend with it.
Hoo-ah!
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah. We had a case in December where a woman in Oklahoma City found a pot pipe inside the hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah!
She found or she...
Well,
it's like, whoa, what's that doing up there?
Well,
the language is very important here.
The officers found it.
Okay,
sorry.
The officers found it.
Sorry.
How did that? I thought I lost that.
I thought I put that somewhere.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
This time last year, we had a 25-year-old who tried to bring a loaded gun into jail with her hoo-ah.
Oh my god!
So taking that one step further.
Hoo-ah!
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah. Yep, trying to bring it into jail.
One of these stories was the genesis of that clip.
Yeah.
I don't remember
which
one. I
think it might
have
been that one.
That one?
I think it was that one.
Okay.
Because that was, that sounds about right. That's this time last year.
Right.
And then, in my re-research of going over these wonderful hoo-ha stories.
Yeah.
I found one that I guess must have been, I must have put into the wayside and just I never got to.
Okay. So but, is this an unread story?
Yep. And I just love the way that this story is written.
Okay.
So I'm going to read it as such. Portia Gross. Yeah, this is in March. I thought for a minute that was her name. Sorry. Portia Gross, 21 years old, back in March, was arrested because in Oklahoma County, Florida. Oh, so it's a double Florida.
Wow.
I guess it is double Florida.
Okay.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And that's a weird name. Oklahoma County, Florida.
Wow.
She was first pulled over because of faulty tag lights.
Right.
Okay, so normal.
Okay.
Then the deputy that pulled her over spotted a blunt on the floor. So that'll take you into custody.
Right, right.
Female jail employees conducted a cavity search on her and discovered pieces of a crack cocaine pipe and cookies that had pot in it inside her hoo-ah. So, yeah, get this straight for a minute.
Just pieces of a pipe.
Pieces of a crack cocaine pipe.
Oh, no.
And full-out pot cookies.
For later.
For cookies. Like
leftovers. It was a doggy bag.
And I guess, I don't know, that didn't come across my original odd news research that week, but that's unbelievable.
So that was back from March.
March, yeah.
And we never talked about it. Wow.
I can't. How do you get
cookies?
How do you get full out cookies up there?
Would cookies even maintain?
Right.
Like, I mean, I don't want to really go over the logistics of this, but
hoo-ah!
Just seems like it would make a big mess.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
And now cookies.
Yeah, and cookies.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
That's their new slogan.
Yeah.
Pepperidge Farm, we can stay warm in your tua.
Wow.
It's a pretty explicit message. Pepperidge Farm.
We can stay warm inside of you.
these are dirty. I feel dirty listening to this stuff. Pepperidge Farm. Stay warm inside of you. You don't even need an oven to bake these cookies. Oh, my God.
This might be the dirtiest we've ever gotten on the iTunes. Probably. But I had to bring it up. What is going on with women trying to hide things up there?
Look,
I have a full-out sheet.
He does.
Different women.
There's like six or seven stories here.
Like, what is going on?
It's not an extra pocket.
Yeah.
Wear pants with pockets.
Ugh.
Oh, my gosh.
Women, just
stop.
Leave your hoo-ha clean, okay?
Yeah.
Hoo-ah!
No crumbs. I mean, come on. Oh, my cookie broke.
Howard, excuse me, but your wife's cookies are out of this world.
Who told you can eat my cookies?
Mm. Oh, these cookies.
Put that cookie down now.
I don't think that clip has ever been more appropriate.
Okay. That's the perfect note to end it on. This is the perfect note to end it on.
There you go. That's what I've got in this week's non-fortune cookie on news. Thank you, the movie Jingle All the Way, for that wonderful quote. All right, before we get even more crazy and more dirty, we need to start wrapping things up. And the way we like to wrap up the show is by learning all of our lessons and synthesizing them all into one segment. It's time for What Have We Learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike. What have we learned on this episode?
I've learned without a doubt that this is going to go down as one of our dirtiest odd news episodes ever.
Yep.
Mostly because you shared with us a list of things people, women have shoved up their hoo-has.
Yep.
Including three guns, a pot pipe, a $35,000 Rolex, and apparently some warm, freshly baked cookies.
Pot cookies.
Pot cookies, yes.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. I just can't even deal with this right now. We also learned that everything else pales in comparison to that one fact.
Mike is giving up.
I'm crumpling it up. That's what we learned. The NBA draft is stupid, but nothing compares to that. Nothing compares.
All right, there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, my gosh. What a show.
What a show.
Closing out the show with a bang. Why not?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, if you don't mind the occasional dirty odd news that we like to throw in, this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more on the Crispy Noodle, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can get highlights like some of the things you just heard right now.
Yep.
And some of our other videos. But make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest podcast downloaded for free straight to your computer, your phone, your tablet, your MP3 player. That way you can listen to it on the go, at work, at home, anytime, anywhere. Just search for the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. If you're not doing anything Wednesday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., check out Totally Driven Entertainment's Blog Talk Radio page, because that's where we debut each week's new episode from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. But if you can't make it to that, that's why we have the iTunes podcast subscription. Definitely subscribe to that so that you get the latest podcast downloaded whenever you want to listen to it, wherever you want to listen to it. It's just awesome like that.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page for you guys. Isn't that right, Rich?
That's right. It's where you can get mini noodles. We take best bits and shrink them down to like 1 to 2 minutes, and you can share it with friends. It's a great way to get other friends introduced to the Crispy Noodle Podcast, and just a great way to share it.
That's right. So plenty of ways to share, experience, and follow the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to follow us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. And that's how you get into contact with us individually. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Woo! What a show.
I know. Boy, we're tired after that last odd news bit, huh?
No, you know what? What a way to end the show. Why not?
Yeah, that was the perfect way.
Perfect. All right, we'll head out from here on out. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later! Woo!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Howard, excuse me, but your wife's cookies are out of this world.
What a... Who told you can eat my cookies?
Oh, these cookies!
Put that cookie down, now!